Dravya Kriya Hetavya Nesha Karti Bir Maya Gune Vastuni Rikshitatmane Andikshaya Gati Sayatma Buddhi Bir Nirasta Maya Kritaye Namo Namaha. Please repeat, Dravya, by the objects of sense enjoyment. Kriya, the activities of the senses. Hetu, the predominating deities of sensory activities. Ayana, the body. Isha, predominating time. Kartibi, by false egotism. Maya Gunai, by the modes of material nature. Vastu, as a fact. Nirikshita, being observed. Atmane, unto the Supreme Soul. Anvikshaya, by careful consideration. Anga, by the limbs of yogic practice. Atishaya Atmi Buddhibir, by those whose intelligence has become fixed. Nirasta, completely freed from. Maya, the illusory energy. Akritaye, whose form. Namaha, all respectful obeisances. Namaha, respectful obeisances. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. The objects of material enjoyment, sound, form, taste, touch, and smell, the activities of the senses, the controllers of sensory activities, the demigods, the body, eternal time, and egotism are all creations of your material energy. Those whose intelligence has become fixed by perfect execution of mystic yoga can see that all these elements result from the actions of your external energy. They can also see your transcendental form as Supersoul in the background of everything. Therefore, I repeatedly offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So, please repeat. The objects of material enjoyment. Sound. Form. Taste, touch, and smell, the activities of the senses, the controllers of sensory activities, the demigods, the body, eternal time, and egotism are all creations of your external energy. Those whose intelligence has become fixed by perfect execution of mystic yoga can see that all these elements result from the actions of your external energy. They can also see your transcendental form as Supersoul in the background of everything. Therefore, I repeatedly offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport Srila Prabhupada. The objects of material enjoyment, the sensory activities, attachment to sensual pleasure, the body, false egotism, and so on, are produced by the Lord's external energy, Maya. The background of all these activities is the living being, and the director of the living beings is the Supersoul. The living being is not the all-in-all. He is directed by the Supersoul. In Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Krishna confirms this. Sarvasya chaham ridhi sannivishto matak smrite jnanam abhohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The living entity depends on the Supersoul for directions. A person advanced in spiritual knowledge or a person expert in the practice of mystic yoga, yama, niyama, asana, and so on, can understand transcendence either as Paramatma or as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is the original cause of all natural events. Therefore, he is described as Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes. Behind everything visible to our material eyes is some cause, and one who can see the original cause of all causes, Lord Krishna, can actually see. Krishna, the Satchitananda Vigraha, is the background of everything, as he himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita 9:10. Mayadakshena prakriti suyate sa chara charam hetunanena kuntaya jagat vipa rivartite. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So, Mukham karochi vachalam pangam laite girim yat kripata maham bande Shri Gurun Dinatarinam Dravya Kriya Heta Yanesha Kartibir Maya Guner Vashtu Nirikshitamane Andikshayan Kati Sayatma Bodhibir Nirasta Maya Kritaye Namo Namaha. The objects of material enjoyment, sound, form, taste, touch, and smell, the activities of the senses, the controllers of sensory activities, the demigods, the body, eternal time, and egotism are all creations of your material energy, those whose intelligence has become fixed by perfect execution of mystic yoga can see that all these elements result from the actions of your external energy. They can also see your transcendental form as Supersoul in the background of everything. Therefore, I repeatedly offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Very noisy today. But this is Vrindavan Dham, and Krishna is the background of everything. So this is the prayers, actually, it says residents of Jambadweep, but if we look at the last verse, which is two verses on, we see, my Lord, as the original boar within this universe, you fought and killed the great demon Hiranyaksha. Then you lifted me, the earth, from the Garbhadak ocean on the end of your tusk, exactly as a sporting elephant plucks a lotus flower from water. I bow down before you. So this is Bhumi Devi offering prayers to the Supreme Lord in his form as Varaha. So if you read carefully this chapter, you will see that the residence of Drambadweep, which is manifest within the material universe, they, in their particular region of Jambadweep, they worship particular forms of the Supreme Lord. So that may come as a surprise, because generally we think Vrahadev has his planet in Vaikunthaloka, the Dasavatar have their planets in Vaikunthaloka. But we see that here in the material manifestation, the Supreme Lord is also manifest in different regions, and within those regions, his devotees offer prayers. The residents of Jambadweep offer prayers. So it is very notable to note that in the prayers offered by the pure devotees, there is no request. Sometimes in we hear the word prayer. O Lord, give me my daily bread. That the Supreme Lord is my order supplier. So by prayers, I demand things from the Supreme Lord for my, in that case, for my bodily maintenance. Give me daily bread. But Srila Prabhupada always explained that this is not the attitude of pure devotion. Pure devotion, exemplified by these prayers, and indeed all the prayers of the pure devotees, it comes from a heart that is atmaram, self-satisfied, situated in transcendence. There is no material anxiety, there is no material illusion, there is no lack of happiness, anand. So the soul situated thus glorifies the Supreme Lord and the qualities of the Supreme Lord, the activities of the Supreme Lord. And it does not demand, he does not try to turn the Supreme Lord into his order supplier. Rather, he prays to the Supreme Lord to be the servant. So he, the pure devotee, and the sadhakas also, following in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they do not pray for material facilities, but they pray for spiritual realization, spiritual attainment, by which they can serve the Lord more completely and more deeply with devotion. So this is very important. And if you look at all the prayers, for example, even in the Brahma Samhita, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai, Sri Guru Parampara, Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyam Sundar, Lalit Vishakha, Shalagram Maharaj, Giri Govardhan, Tulsi Maharani, Gomata, Ki Jai. So, the devotee prays to be a better servant of the Lord, not for material facility. As Prabhupada makes clear in the purport, the Supreme Lord is the background, he is the maintainer of everyone. So the devotee, situated in realization of the Lord, knows that the Supreme Lord is the shelter of his pure devotees. He has no need to pray for material facility or material opulence. Rather, he wants to glorify the Lord. And if we read these prayers very carefully, we will see that they elucidate the nature of the Supreme Lord and his activities, his qualities. the Brahma Samhita, there is no request by Lord Brahma. If we read the prayers of at the beginning of the Bhagavatam of Queen Kunti, and the Acharyas have generally described that the prayers of Queen Kunti are the prayers of a neophyte devotee, because Queen Kunti is explaining in her prayerful offerings to the Supreme Lord that she is bewildered by his nature. Krishna is unborn. He is the Supreme Lord. Yet he appears as the son of Nanda and Yashoda, and is born apparently by Vasudeva and Devaki. So she is also bewildered to consider that this is the Supreme Lord, the master of everything, and yet he becomes the charioteer of Arjuna. So, however, though, she prays that may my attachment be cut off to my family. So this may come as a great shock, because her family is the Pandavas, the children, the Pandavas. So why would she cut off the attachment to her fellow devotees? Well, the answer is that she is asking for the Supreme Lord to remove the illusion of her being the mother of her children. That these children, the Pandavas, she is not the source of them, she is not the maintainer of them, rather she is the in the role of mother temporarily. So when she asks that this illusion, attachment to her family members be cut off, she is asking that the illusory conception that I am the mother, I am the source of these children, be removed. And she prays, Gange Bodam Udanvati. She says that may my devotion to you, O Supreme Lord, flow ever forward, just like the Ganges. The Ganges flows over every obstacle. It is a massive river, so you cannot block the Ganges. It will flow around any obstacle. So Queen Kunti prays in that way. She doesn't pray for any material facility, but remove your illusory energy and give me realization of you, and make my devotion constant, unbroken. So she exemplifies the mentality of the devotee. Srila Prabhupada, I was listening to a lecture by Prabhupada last week, and Prabhupada says, Prahlad Maharaj, he never prayed for anything from Nrisimhadev. And he was under the greatest threat. Sometimes we think, but if we research carefully, we will see that Prahlad Maharaj, he was being threatened by Hiranyakashipu and his cohorts, but he didn't pray for protection. If you actually look at the prayer, he just simply situated himself in remembrance of the Lord and was perfectly surrendered to whatever the Supreme Lord arranged. Because, as is explained in this purport, the devotee sees the Supreme Lord as the background of everything. He sees the Supreme Lord, not just the illusory manifestations, but the background to the material energy. And thus he becomes free of illusion. He sees the material energy as the emanation of the Supreme Lord for particular purposes, and he sees the Supreme Lord as perfectly in control of this material energy. So he does not pray for anything other than the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. And of course, in the Shikshastaka, Lord Chaitanya, he prays Adlishyava Padaratam Panashtumam Madarshanam, that whether you make me broken-hearted by not being present, by not giving me your darshan, or if you trample me, or if you embrace me, still you are my worshipable Lord. So this mentality of the devotee should be understood. When we talk about the prayers of the residents of Jamvadweep, the Leela of Krishna, we should not think that these activities are impelled by material desire. We are Sachit Ananda, Vigraha, the spirit soul. But covered by the material energy, we feel nervous about our existence, asat. Yes, we are chit in constitution, but covered by the material energy, we are in illusion. So we do not properly understand reality before us. Anand, we feel a great lack of happiness in the material plane. So therefore, the people with these problems, they approach the Supreme Lord. Give me sat, make me safe, give me good intelligence, give me happiness. And in the materialist, they search for material enjoyment, they search for material education, they search for material safety. So when they approach the Supreme Lord, they approach with these things in mind. This is the neophyte condition. It is correct that they have approached the Supreme Lord. There is that verse, Akama Sarvakama Mukshakama Udhuryade Trivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajate Purishamparam. Whether you have no material desire, akam, or you're full of all material desire, or you want mukti, then the intelligent path is to worship the Supreme Lord, the Purusham Param, the Supreme Person. However, the advice through Guru Parampara and through Shastra is that the person who wants to enter the path of bhakti, particularly the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they do not pray for any material adjustment or satisfaction. They take that as the Supreme Lord's mercy. Therefore, there is that verse in the Nectar of Devotion, Tattena Nukampatam, that the devotee who accepts whatever happens to him, whether it is good or bad, as the mercy of the Lord, but continues to offer his obeisances to that Supreme Lord, then he becomes, by that attitude, the rightful inheritor of the transcendental realm, by this attitude of selfless surrender. So Mukshakama Udhariyadi, this is a reference, so the devotee wants to become liberated from the material energy so he can serve his beloved Lord more completely and more deeply. So the very important point, Atmarama, the Supreme Lord, the third sloka of Vedanta Sutra, Anandamoy Biasat, Janmadi Asyata, that the Supreme Lord, as is referenced by Prabhupada in this purport, is the source of everything, Janmadi Asyata. That is first definition. Anandamoy Biasat. So the Supreme Lord is the source of everything, and He is full of transcendental bliss. So the devotee who is in union with the Supreme Lord through devotion, he also becomes Atmarama. And therefore, from it's also there in the Bhagavad Gita, fourth chapter, the self-realized sage, by virtue of acquired transcendental knowledge, becomes perfectly satisfied by that spiritual realization. So, transcendental realization is the antidote for material desire. And those who have achieved transcendental realization are absolved from that diseased condition. Jamuna Acharya, the great devotee, he wrote one sloka, right? That now that I am tasting the nectar of the name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Supreme Lord, when I think of mundane sensuality, sex life, then I want to spit. So, does that mean that the devotee cannot engage in procreation? No. Jamunacharya is rejecting mundane sensuality on the basis of selfish enjoyment. But at the same time, the devotee, and Jamunacharya included, is ready to engage in material enjoyment in the sense of procreation, union with a woman, if that is the desire of the Lord. So, Atmarama does not mean that the devotee is completely devoid of contact, but rather he is using this material body and the facilities and abilities of this material body in the service of the Supreme Lord. But that service is not whimsically created. As we see here, Prabhupada quotes in the purport, Sarvasya chaham ridi sanivishto, mataksmatya gyanam apohanam cha. The Supreme Lord, the devotee in realization of the Supreme Lord, is directed by the Supreme Lord. So his spiritual engagement is not whimsically, but it is under the supervision directly of the Supreme Lord. And he can engage in apparently material activities for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, for the procreation of children and so on and so forth. After all, how do all these members of Krishna Leela arrive and manifest on the earth planet but through these activities? So it's very important to understand the consciousness of these liberated devotees, because they guide us by meditating on this quality of the devotee, his Atmarama nature. Then one knows the path that one should be walking in the period of sadhana. There are elaborate descriptions in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 7th Chapter, verse number 10, I think it is. The Atmarama verse is there. Atmaramas chamanayo nigrantha api urukrame korvanti hoitikim bhaktim itat bhuto gunohari. That all sorts of Atmaramas, those situated in self-satisfaction of the soul, are still attracted to the service and the glorification of the Supreme Lord, and this is proof, or this manifests that the Supreme Lord is transcendental in nature. Because, as we see from Yamunacharya, the devotees, they have a repugnance to material enjoyment. But they're ready to engage according to the Supreme Lord's direction. And even though the Atmaramas, and there is description, it is more elaborate in the 34th chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That chapter is called The Explanations of the Atmarama Verse. Lord Chaitanya, he gave 61 explanations of the Atmarama Verse to Sanatan Goswami. So this quality of the Supreme Lord is shared by the devotee, by consciousness. And we should understand the nature of transcendence. And so when these prayers are being offered by the residents of Jambadweep, they are Atmarama, they are glorifying the Supreme Lord. And their only request is that their devotion may be enhanced. So this is a great instruction for all of us, that we should rely on the Supreme Lord. Let him be the maintainer. Let him be the creator. Let him be the destroyer. And let us be the servant of the servant of the servant. And that should be our concern. And this is the bhakti taught and exemplified by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ohoitiki, this word is in the sloka here. Hetu, causeless. Prabhupada in the purport mentions the Brahma Samhita verse. Sarvakarana Karanam. So the Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes. But that does not mean that everything is happening is the desire of the Supreme Lord's. We hear in this sloka that the material energy, all the elements, they are manifest, Bhumi Devi says, by your external energy, and you are behind it as the Supreme Controller. But we should understand that that does not mean that everything that happens is the desire of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord, as the cause of all causes, gives the living entity his independence, minute independence, and he gives him facility, the material energy within which to pursue that independent desire. But it is not the Supreme Lord's desire. In the next sloka, it's very interesting. If you remember, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the argument from evil. People say, there's no God because there's suffering in the world. We had a big discussion about that. But this point we didn't hit upon, and it's here in the sloka. O Lord, you do not desire the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this material world, but you perform these activities for the conditioned souls by your creative energy. So Prabhupada in the purport explains, sometimes it is said, why are people suffering in this world? Well, Prabhupada explains here, sometimes the question arises why the Supreme Lord has created this material world which is so full of suffering for the living entities entrapped in it. The answer given herein is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not wish to create this material world just to inflict suffering on the living entities. The Supreme Lord creates this world only because the conditioned souls want to enjoy it. So yes, Supreme Lord is the ultimate background and controller of everything. But he is using that control to facilitate the desires of all living entities. yetam mam prapadyante tam steva bhajamiyanam. All of them, as they surrender to me, I reciprocate accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. So Krishna has made the creation, but he is facilitating the independent volition of the living entities within that creation. So it is a mistake to think, oh, the Supreme Lord is controlling everything, then he's to blame for the suffering. Huh? This is a poor fund of knowledge. No. The Supreme Lord is making grapes, but you are making it into wine and giving yourself a headache. You cannot blame the Supreme Lord for that. Oh, but why can't he make wine that doesn't give me a headache? Well, then you drink too much of it and poison yourself to death very quickly. Huh? The suffering condition, like in this case, a hangover from drinking wine, that exemplifies the nature of the material world. You have your independence and you are converting beautiful grapes into wine. At this point we should note that the alcohol that is created is actually the urine of a microbe. Did you know that? You have to put a living entity, the yeast, into there, and they eat the carbohydrate and sugar, and they urinate the alcohol. So when people say, oh, it's a very good year, they mean it's a very good year for year urine. So, however, it is a suffering condition. If you take the wine and remove the suffering condition, then the living entity will continue in his intoxication, destroy himself, give himself throat cancer, and so on. So the material energy is made in that way that you may pursue your independent desires for enjoyment, and the Supreme Lord will facilitate that. But the material energy, there's always a worm in the apple. There's always a hangover after the wine. And that is to teach us that this material energy is anatha, unwanted. Somebody may say, oh, well, the Supreme Lord is giving me suffering. Why doesn't he just give me material existence without suffering? But that means you would have no impetus to reject the material energy. Now, if you do want to enjoy the material energy, you can enjoy without the nth degree of suffering if you follow the Vedic prescriptions. Because then you'll go to Swargaloka and you'll live there with the Vijayadaris. You'll enjoy the Nandan gardens of, and you will live for thousands and thousands and millions of years enjoying material enjoyment. But of course it is temporary. So the inebrieties of material energy are actually the mercy of the Supreme Lord, so that the living entity searches for a better situation, so that he gives up attachment to this material energy. And he pursues a different sphere for his manifestation of his Satchitananda nature. Freedom from death, Sat, eternality. Freedom from illusion, Achit, become Chit. Freedom from Niranand, the misery and the paucity of sensual enjoyment, for unlimited Anand. So the suffering of the material world is actually a good thing, because it makes the living entity reject this lower existence and search for something higher. So the devotee understands this position of the Supreme Lord. Those that are without knowledge, they blame the Supreme Lord for their problems there in this world. And that, in this way, they only display a lack of devotion and a lack of knowledge. Those that understand the position of the Supreme Lord as the manifester of the material energy and the background understand also that the living entity has free will within this situation. And if he does go to Pap, then the impetus to reject the material energy becomes even stronger. Therefore, those that are actually enjoying in the heavenly planets, they have very little impetus to give it up and take to spiritual life, because the material enjoyment is so sublime. So, Lord Chaitanya manifested the Mahaprakash Leela for 21 hours. It's described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. He entered within himself and he sat on a simhasana and he called all the devotees forward. He called them all forward, those that were attached to Lord Ram. He manifested his form as Lord Ram. Those that were attached in this way or that way, whatever their particular attachment, the Supreme Lord called them forward and they were able to worship the Supreme Lord to their heart's content. And in this way, all the associates of Lord Chaitanya offered their prayers to the Supreme Lord and felt great satisfaction and bliss. So at the end, Lord Chaitanya called for Advaitacharya. Bring Nada. Lord Advaitachandra, he was the leader of the Vaishnavas in Navadvipa. So right at the end of the Mahaprakash Leela, Lord Chaitanya called him. And he said, now I've given spiritual benedictions to all the devotees. Now Advaita, you ask, what is your desire? What is your benediction? Advaita Chandra said, I don't want anything. Exemplifying this, what we're trying to explain. I am just satisfied. You have already fulfilled my desire. I worshipped you on the bank of the Ganga with water, Ganga Jal and Tulsi. And now you have appeared to reestablish the Yuga Dharma. So I'm perfectly satisfied. So Lord Chaitanya said, no, Advaita. That was for general. That was for saving all the Kali Yuga people. Now you ask for something that is your heart's desire. So Advaita Chandra said, okay, as it is your order, my dear Lord, I will ask for one benediction. I pray that you give your mercy to the most fallen, even the most fallen residents of Kali Yuga. What is that song? Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar Na Paye Mosamo Patita Prabhu Na Paye. So you give your mercy to all the most fallen, but do not give your mercy to those that are puffed up. Falsely puffed up. We're talking about Queen Kunti. Queen Kunti said, Janma, Aishwar, Shruti, Shribir. That these four things, they intoxicate the materially conditioned. What is it? Janma. People think, oh, I'm born in a very high family. And they become intoxicated. Shruti, education. Somebody gets an education, even if it's a fool's paradise in some university, some think, oh, I'm very educated, I'm superior to the others. Somebody who has bodily beauty, healthy body, attractive, thinks, oh, I'm superior to these ugly people, I'm a supermodel, something like that. And those that have opulence, material opulence, they also become, oh, I've got the money, so I'm superior. So Advaita Chandra says, those people that are intoxicated by material opulence and puffed up, don't give them your mercy. But give your mercy freely to those that are humble, whose only shelter and desire is you, who have no other program other than your satisfaction. You give them all their mercy. Do not consider if they're well educated in a material sense, high birth. No. Don't consider that. Just consider their humility and their sincere application for your mercy. Then you give them that mercy. This is what my desire is. So this is Advaita Chandra. So of course Advaita Chandra is Mahavishnu and Lord Shiva, combined incarnation, the greatest devotees. Mahavishnu is the source of the Tathastha Shakti Jiva that becomes entangled in the material world. So it's very interesting that as Advaita Chandra, he has this great desire to liberate the living entities from the material world. In the next sloka, which we already described, this material world is created for this rebellious spirit soul. So these points are very important, that the devotees, the Supreme Lord, the impetus for their activities is not material lack, material necessity. They are Atmaram. So somebody may say, well, if the Supreme Lord is Atmaram and the devotees are Atmaram, why are they engaging in activities? Why aren't they just sitting there and vibrating in great bliss? So of course this is impersonalism. This is tinged with impersonalism. Actually, if you read Jivadharma, and everyone should do that, there's a discussion there that the Supreme Lord is Atmaram, but to enjoy the bliss of pastimes, to be stimulated, he externalizes his Swarup Shakti as Srimati Radharani, and he expands as the living entities. And by reciprocating with the supreme, the living entities, it stimulates his internal Atmaram. The Supreme Lord is Rasavai Saha. So he has all rasa within himself. But by interaction with his devotees, this stimulates him to a greater ecstasy. Just like when you can, a material example to understand, you can think of a great musician. A great musician, he knows all about music. Right? Of course, you can never know all about music. But he has great accomplishment in music. But what does he do then? Does he sit at home remembering Mozart and Beethoven? No, he wants to interact with other people, with other musicians, to enjoy and stimulate his musical ability. And this way, his musical ability is enhanced and his musical enjoyment is increased. So, yes, the devotees, they offer prayers from the position of full satisfaction. And the Supreme Lord is fully satisfied. However, they engage in pastimes to enjoy the bliss of these activities. So if you read Adilila verse 5, you will see that Radha and Krishna are one in identity, but to enjoy the bliss of pastimes, they have separated themselves eternally. And those two personalities have now recombined as Radha and Krishna, and they are enjoying that particular leela. So about 2-3 months ago, you were explaining that when the Supreme Lord engages in leela, he is mugda. That means he forgets his position, in a sense, as the Supreme Lord. And so when he becomes Varaha, he really considers that I am Varaha, I am a boar, and I must rescue the earth on my tusks, because that is the equipment available to me. When he is Matsya, he is engaged in that leela from the position of Mugda. Yogamaya puts him into this mood and he forgets that I am Savagyan, the Supreme Lord. And this is the contradiction that Queen Kunti was trying to understand. That you, Supreme Lord, you are the knower, you're Savagyan, you're the supreme controller of everything. You are full of bliss and happiness. There is nothing unavailable to you. But still you engage in pastimes as a charioteer, as the servant of Arjuna. So this is the explanation to understand that the Supreme Lord engages in all variety of leela as exemplified in these prayers to some extent. And this enthrallment, this absorption in leela, this is increasing his bliss and it is increasing the bliss of the devotees. So when we study the leela of Krishna in the Bhagavatam, we should bear these ideas in mind. And then we will be able to see more deeply into the leela. What Krishna is doing, what is the mood of the devotees, how people are entangled in the material energy, how they may become free. If we understand the consciousness of the components, the participants in the leela, then we can understand the leela deeply. But if we just look at the leela from a material point of view, without going to the acharyas in parampara, then we will consider from a material point of view. Krishna is dancing with the gopis because of material impetus. Krishna is doing this and that because of material impetus. And then our comprehension, our attitude will be very incomplete and unwanted. But through these prayers, through the nectar of devotion, through the words of the acharyas, we can understand the leela as they are. So, we'll finish at this point. Any questions? So, you're also Atmaram. You're also engaging in leela from the position of Atmaram, or at least you are applicants for that. But you, that quality of Atmaram and devoid of material desire, that is intrinsic to the soul. Nichasiddha Krishna Bhavasya, you can find in. So that mood is awoken by knowledge of it. Nature and engagement in sadhana with this understanding in mind. So try to absorb these spiritual topics and you will find that you are on the progress to being Atmaram. Thank you all very much. Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, Gaur Nitai Ki. Jai.